This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Heavy political campaign spending by special interest groups is the norm in the run-up to almost any election these days. But taking that same approach to the state's budget controversy is a bit different. While details won't be known for some time regarding what about a dozen or so labor unions and business groups are spending to sway public opinion over the current budget debate, the amount spent across the state is already estimated in the millions. Mike McCabe is executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, a Madison-based group that keeps track of election spending. Wisconsin Public Radio's Maureen McCollum asked him how unusual this special interest campaigning is.
Well, you know, there is an upcoming April election and a very important state Supreme Court election coming up, but that's not what these ads are about. Of course, these ads are about Governor Walker's budget proposal and more broadly the union busting elements of Governor Walker's plans, and some groups are weighing in favor of the governor, others are weighing in opposition, and that's very rare to see. You see these electioneering groups weighing in heavily in state legislative contests. They get involved in the governor's race. But then when it comes time for the legislative session, you don't see them out there doing television and radio ads. You don't see this kind of activity. It's very, very rare. I can count on one hand the number of times I've seen it, and I've never seen it at this magnitude. I've never seen this many groups involved with this kind of activity, and I've never seen this kind of money being spent. We're seeing hundreds of thousands of dollars spent in every major media market. So collectively, we're talking millions of dollars, and it's basically about a dozen or so groups that are involved in this activity. I've never seen anything like that before.
What were some other events where this did happen? And you said you could count them on the number of them on your hand.
Well, in the past, there have been bills that have come before the legislature or passed budget proposals that might have caused one or two groups to do an ad weighing in, trying to persuade people around the state to share their position on that bill. But again, it has been either a bill before the legislature or a budget that is under consideration. But it usually has been restricted to one or two groups that decides it wants to take to the airwaves to shape public opinion. Here we've got, you know, better than a dozen groups that are involved in this, weighing in on both sides, for Walker, against the governor. This is really unprecedented. But then we're living in unprecedented times. All of what's happening is something that we've never seen before in Wisconsin. We haven't seen sustained protests at the Capitol of this magnitude. We haven't seen multiple real recall elections being pursued. I can't ever remember seeing recalls of more than one elected official at a time. And here you're talking about a significant number of senators who are facing the possibility of recall. That is something that hasn't ever happened in living memory. I don't believe it's ever happened in Wisconsin history. So we're in uncharted territory here. We're dealing with a situation that Wisconsin's never seen before.
So who are these groups that are spending money on this in the state for political ads? And I'm wondering if you can break them down locally and then interest groups that are outside of Wisconsin.
Well, you know, these are groups that are typically electioneering groups that get heavily involved in trying to influence voters around election time. On the left, you've got groups like Greater Wisconsin Committee, which, you know, really exists for the purposes of trying to influence elections. But they've jumped in and done a lot of ads. Then you also have the AFL-CIO and labor interests that have jumped in. Now, they haven't tended to do election ads in the past. So, that's an area where you've got a major union that's diving in and trying to shape public opinion on these issues that are that are being dealt with at the Capitol. On the right, you've got groups like Americans for Prosperity, which was created by the David and Charles Koch and Koch Industries, multi-billionaires from outside of Wisconsin who really are trying to promote a national agenda here. Club for Growth gets heavy support from a New York real estate developer by the name of Howie Rich. And so those are really national organizations with state arms that have come in to try to support what the governor is aiming to do here. And so we've seen groups, some with sort of, nebulous names that kind of sound like motherhood and apple pie. Some are very identifiable and well-known organizations. But it's on both sides, roughly a half a dozen or give or take, on both sides of the issue. And again, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of advertising sometime, and I think collectively around the state, when you look at all the media markets, we're talking in the millions.
And I know you just touched on it a bit, but why do these national organizations, people in New York, people in Washington, why do they care about what goes on here in Wisconsin?
Well, what's happening in Wisconsin is not isolated to Wisconsin. This is a part of a national agenda that is being pushed forward by groups like Americans for Prosperity and the Club for Growth and others. And this is playing out in a lot of states: Ohio, Indiana, Tennessee, New Jersey. And it's going to happen in dozens more states eventually, because this is not something that's isolated to Wisconsin. This idea of trying to handicap or perhaps even kneecap labor unions and strip away collective bargaining rights for workers, that's something that the Koch brothers and the Howie Riches of the world they've been trying to promote that for years. I think they just saw Wisconsin as their first best opportunity to push this agenda forward. Came here, dumped a lot of money here, had a governor and a legislature that was receptive to this, and really want to make Wisconsin the first domino that falls. And I their hope clearly is that many more dominoes will then fall. But this is not something that is unique to Wisconsin. This is something that's playing out all across the country, and it will increasingly play out in more and more states as this goes along. Depending on how it plays out in Wisconsin, that could affect how it goes in the rest of the country. Wisconsin, I think, is seen as this initial test case, this first domino in what is a whole series of dominoes. At least that's what these groups hope.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, a Madison-based campaign financing watchdog group. You mentioned that hundreds of thousands of dollars have been spent on these ads. Are there some organizations that are spending more than others? And is more money being spent every day as the days go on?
Yeah, the ads are continuing. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars in every major media market. Just in Green Bay market, for example, already there's been over $600,000 in advertising aired just in Green Bay. And, of course, it's in Milwaukee and it's in Madison and it's in all the major media markets around the state. So collectively, we're talking easily into seven figures and we're talking millions of dollars. Some of the groups are doing more than others. Some new ones are sort of joining in and entering the fray. Others have been at it for a while. Americans for Prosperity had already spent $400,000 that we knew of before most of these groups even came to the party. And the other thing is that one of the things that really struck us, that spoke volumes about the extent to which these groups have been consulted and they've been in the loop and they've been a part of the development of the overall strategy here in Wisconsin, is that the Club for Growth was on the air with ads before the bill was even introduced, before legislators had even seen the proposal, the Club for Growth was up with ads supporting the proposal. So they obviously were in the loop. They were part of discussions about the development of this. And so before it even was known to legislators, this group was out there with ads saying that this is a great idea, what Governor Walker is trying to do. That spoke volumes to us about the extent to which this is not something that has just been developed within the confines of the Walker administration, but rather this is something that these large national actors have been very involved in, and they've been consulted, they've been kept in the loop, they've been tipped off about the unveiling or the rollout of all of this. One of the other things that we had a hard time not noticing was that an email went out from the Club for Growth to its members on the Monday before a public hearing eventually was held on the bill. No public notice had been put out. There was nothing on the legislature's website. The public hadn't been notified of the hearing on a Tuesday, the 15th. And yet on Monday, an email went out early in the morning from Club for Growth telling people about the hearing and saying that bus transportation had already been lined up and people could go to a website and sign up for a bus ride to Madison to take part in the hearing. So the group obviously was tipped off about plans for the public hearing before there was any public notice. The email went out to Club for Growth members at about 8:30 in the morning. It wasn't until midday that day that there was anything on the legislature's website about the public hearing. So, you know, that kind of thing really didn't pass the smell test either, and it just showed how these groups were really working behind the scenes and working hand in hand with elected officials to roll this thing out. And that same group, of course, was up with ads over the previous weekend, pitching the plan and voicing support for it. So all of this has been a very coordinated, highly orchestrated undertaking, and it involves some major national groups. You know, Americans for Prosperity was created by the Koch brothers and works across the country driving their agenda. Club for Growth, as I said, is, you know, Howie Rich is instrumental there. He's from New York. He's a real estate developer. And these are billionaires who have a political agenda. They see Wisconsin as a stepping stone to progress on that agenda across the country.
So potentially along those same lines, we're just about to the end of the caucus scandals in Wisconsin, where lawmakers and staffers of both parties were convicted of using office time and resources to campaign. So does the use of advertising on both sides of the budget debate lead you to believe that maybe this is still going on, and especially if they're dealing with special interest groups too?
Well, I tell you, it's hard to believe that there wasn't coordination and that there wasn't consultation with these groups, because how could they know before there was any public notice about a public hearing? How could they know about the bill before it was even introduced in the legislature? So obviously these groups have been given special access, a degree of access that ordinary citizens do not have. And, and the other thing is, there was that famous call that Governor Walker took from someone he thought was David Koch. And he talked about political strategy. He even suggested that some money needed to be raised. And you're not supposed to, use public offices, public telephones, public resources for political purposes. It was hard to listen to that call and not see that call as having a political purpose. And I think the mere fact that Governor Walker took that call in the governor's office when he thought that it was David Koch speaks volumes. He wasn't willing to talk to Democratic senators. He wasn't willing to talk to any of the protesters who had poured into the Capitol. But when he heard that it was somebody who was among his biggest campaign donors, somebody who had given $43,000 to his campaign and pumped $1 million more into the Republican Governors Association, which then spent $5 million to help get Scott Walker elected. When it was somebody like that on the line, he took the call. Didn't even look at caller ID to check whether the call was real. And obviously, you know, this was a person impersonating David Koch, but the call ended up being extraordinarily revealing. And you know, I tell you, for a while there, we were seeing elected officials showing a great deal more caution about engaging in what is clearly political behavior on state time in state offices. But I guess the caucus scandal is far enough in the rearview mirror that you know, people are no longer quite so alert to it, or are no longer quite so concerned about entering some gray areas. But you know, whether or not what was revealed to us during that phone call is illegal, it was clearly dead wrong, and it spoke volumes about the real motives behind this push to strip away workers' rights. This is not about the budget, and Governor Walker made that very clear during that call. You know, this is about politics. It's about power. It's about rewarding campaign donors, and it's about kneecapping political opponents. And you know, I think further evidence of that came out last night when the Senate pulled this surprise vote. You know, they'd been saying for weeks that this was all about the budget. Well, then they pulled the union busting language out of the budget bill, and they take it up as a separate measure, and they push it through on a moment's notice, and the action on the Senate floor took all of 3 minutes. So, you know, it became pretty clear what the real motives here are. It's not about the budget. It's not about solving any fiscal problems. This is about politics, and it's about power. And I think the sad thing is that whether they know it or not, or whether they even care, they've chosen the path of maximum destruction. And what has happened here sets in motion forces that I think can only lead to more protests, boycotts, walkouts, possibly strikes, certainly recall elections, a lot of ill will, tremendous acrimony, more and more division in our society. This we are on the path of maximum destruction here, and it didn't have to be this way.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, a Madison-based campaign financing watchdog group. So, Mike, as far as the senator's actions last night in passing part of the budget repair bill that would restrict collective bargaining rights for public workers, do you expect these actions to escalate the campaigns, you know, the advertising campaigns?
Well, I don't know how much more the advertising campaigns can escalate. And by the way, I think these groups are wasting their money, because this kind of propaganda works best when it's in a information vacuum. When people don't have many other sources of information, that's when these kinds of ads, which are pure propaganda, that's when they have the greatest impact. But this has become a national story. It's on the national news. It's in local media. People are talking about it at work. They're talking about it at church. This is a subject, you know, people sitting on bar stools talking about this. People have so many sources of information, and they know so much about this, that I think most people will simply tune out all this advertising. So these groups are trying to shape public opinion, but I think public opinion is basically shaped. I think people have more or less made up their minds, because they have plenty of information to go on. And so this kind of advertising is only effective when it's done in an information vacuum. And there's no information vacuum. There's no shortage of discussion out there about what's going on in our state. And so I think they're wasting their money. But, you know, regardless of whether this advertising is out there or not, or whether it escalates or not, this issue is going to do nothing but grow. The divisions are going to intensify, and I think the reaction to these actions will only intensify. You know, again, they've chosen a path that is the most divisive path possible. And, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can deal with budget problems. I don't personally, I don't think that you should ever solve budget problems by taking away people's rights. I think that's a bottom line that we should all stand for. But they have chosen an incredibly divisive path that, of course, will provoke a strong reaction. And I don't see that dying down anytime soon. We are in uncharted territory. We've never seen multiple recall elections, you know, across the state. We're going to see that, and it's not going to die down anytime soon. And this is now going to become a huge issue in city council chambers, town halls, school board meetings. You know, all of this is going to come home to roost at the local level and create tremendous ill will and tremendous acrimony at the local community level, which I think will further fuel the fire. You know, this isn't going to be limited to the state capitol. This is coming to a neighborhood near you.
So recall petitions have started to circulate for many of the senators involved in this, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. What's your reaction to the recall attempts? Just this morning, I was down at a rally in La Crosse, downtown La Crosse, and everywhere I turned, there was someone with a clipboard and, you know, a petition to recall Dan Kopanky, the senator for this area. So just wondering your reaction to all this.
Well, you know, it is astonishing, and I've never seen anything like it before in my lifetime. I don't think Wisconsin has ever witnessed anything like this in our history. This is unprecedented. But I think that I think what is being done is incredibly divisive. I don't think it's an accident or a coincidence that what you're seeing are recall efforts on both sides. People are caught up in this, regardless of whether they're for this or against this action that's being taken. And that speaks volumes about the extraordinarily divisive nature of how these issues are being handled. But ultimately, I think that the power of recall election is an important instrument for citizens to possess. It is used exceedingly rarely. We very rarely see citizens rise up and seek to use the instrument of recall. The bar that you have to jump over is incredibly high, as it should be. The number of signatures you have to collect is daunting. When eventually this turns statewide, which it will, and it is a petition to recall Scott Walker, and it will be attempted. 540,000 signatures are needed. That's an incredibly daunting task to organize a movement that would gather that many signatures. And so it only happens under very extraordinary circumstances. But I think the fact that citizens are pursuing this all across the state is an indication that what we are faced with are extraordinary circumstances. And under those extraordinary circumstances, I think this is an instrument that citizens can and should use.
Mike McCabe is executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's Maureen McCullum today about all of the money special interest groups are spending to influence the public over Wisconsin's budget debates. You can hear more of this interview on our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. Coming up in the next half hour, the story of one man who discovered his real roots after the age of 32. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.